Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
That one's out to left center field. Harris is on the run. Did he do it?
Yes!
He did! Two-run opposite field home run. It's his first home run here in September, and the Phillies have stunningly tied this game at 8.
Tom McCarthy on the call, Bryce Harper going deep to allow for the call. That is your home run call of the day. Bryce Harper going deep for the Philadelphia Phillies, who split their doubleheader with the Braves. Is this a preview of a great, great postseason matchup? Perhaps the juggernaut that is the Braves, they might be a little worried about the Phillies. The Phillies, man, how can you bet against them? We don't bet against them. FanDuel, thank you for allowing us to do those things, to not bet against the Phillies. Thank you for powering this podcast, this movement. Thank you, FanDuel, for all that you do. Also, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring, Twitter, Instagram, the whole works. Producer Evan doing an outstanding job. Yesterday, we had 4 podcasts in different forms. 4! Steve Wynn, Lenny DiNardo, Baseball Project, Music and Baseball come together. Oh my goodness, it was so good. Then we had the Power Ranking podcast with Skiff and Producer Evan. Oh, let me tell you, Braves, Orioles, Braves, who you got? Then we had an exclusive with James Paxton, Red Sox pitcher, who has been shut down for the year. So why? What happened? Well, you can only hear it on Baseballs and Boring. That was a BIB on the go, James Paxton. And then we gave you a little extra just to top everything off. Aaron Boone's meeting with the media yesterday. Felt it was apropos considering, you know, 9/11, very powerful stuff. Also, the update on Jason Dominguez. All right, well, speaking of the Yankees, this is a fun interview. This is a fun podcast. Sean Casey got a call to be Yankees manager. I'm sorry, not Yankees manager. Got a call to be Yankees hitting coach out of nowhere. And sure enough, that's exactly what he became for the last couple months. The Yankees hitting coach. Now, the Yankees numbers and their record aren't exactly what you would want, I guess, but still, you can point to specific guys on this team, veterans who have taken a turn for the better since Sean has gotten there. And so we just wanted to talk to Sean and get his perspective of what it is like to live the life of a podcaster / MLB network host, and then all of a sudden be dropped into a major league clubhouse as a hitting coach in this day and age of analytics and everything else. It is a whole different ball game. So we sit down with Sean Casey to get his unique perspective of that. Also, Kevin Youkilis, you may know him as former Major League Baseball player and also the hitting coach for Team Israel in the WBC. He swings by to give his perspective of Sean, with Sean sitting right there. And to top things off, you are going to want to listen to the comp that Sean Casey gives Jason Dominguez. Holy mackerel. I know Yankee fans are feeling low after hearing this one. You're going to feel a little bit better. All right, here you go. Here's Sean Casey.
All right. Maybe the best hitting coach I've ever seen in my life. Honestly, let's cut to the chase, all right? You just were telling me sort of like how this came about. And I know you probably told the story before, but you haven't told it since you were on this podcast at the winter meetings. Sean Casey, tell me how you became a hitting coach for the New York Yankees.
Well, Bradford, first off, good to see you, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was just in the Cape. I just saw you at Fenway when they did that showcase here for the kids that were just starting out in the Cape. I think it was in June. Then I came back to see him in in Orleans. And when I was coming back during that time, it was right at the All-Star break, and you know, I got a call from Booney around that time, and saying they might be looking to make a change in the second half. Would I have any interest in coming and being the hitting coach? And I thought, you know, that sounds incredible.
Oh, first of all,
hitting coach with the Yankees. Yeah. It's a little different. You know what I mean? Hang on a second.
All right.
Come on.
If you want to get in this, listen.
Hey, it's got to be the worst interview I've ever heard.
The next hitting coach right here for the Boston Red Sox.
He is a hitting coach for Team Israeli.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
How did you guys do?
Yeah, we got no hits. We were 8. It wasn't an official game, so it wasn't a no-hitter.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, the two best hitting coaches I know right here. Other than Dave
Maggin.
Other than Dave Maggin.
The best looking.
Right?
Best looking.
God, really?
Yeah. So before you let us finish this podcast.
Oh, is this a podcast?
Yeah.
Is this an interview?
No.
So, this is a podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. Kevin Youkilis, hitting coach for Team Israel. What advice would you give hitting coach Sean Casey for the New York Yankees?
A lot of praying. Just pray. Are we going to get one tonight? The last time I said it, you did it. Ha!
There goes Booney. We got all the guys.
I don't have enough microphone. My best advice for him is just do what he knows best. You know, this guy was a stud hitter, knows how to relationship build. That's the his biggest traits are relationship building, confidence, gaining confidence in players, and getting like guys to believe in himself. That's it. I mean, at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do as a hitting guy. You provide all the information. It's information overload already. So it's about dissecting it, understanding the players. And he's good about being a people person. And being a people person, understanding, I can give this guy a little bit. I can give this guy a lot more. Or, you know, vice versa, or in between. And that's what he's going to be great at.
You know, he's the second guy from the 2008 team that said almost that exact thing.
I didn't tell you that Yuke's my agent, so we're looking for a
Jewish guy.
Yeah. The other one's Jed Lowry. I saw him at the All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Jed Lowry.
He's really smart, too.
Yeah, Jed is very smart. Yuke's smart, though, too. He plays it off like he's not. He's very smart.
Yeah. Rather stirs a drink in the 2008.
I'm going to let this interview go.
I want to see it.
All right. Anyway, so
only you, Bradford, could have no interview planned, and then you got Booney.
Let's get him over here. Like I said, I'm not gonna. I had the other day, Sean. I was doing Ortiz in the dugout, and Mookie comes over.
Oh, you see that?
Yeah, and I'm like whipping the microphone around. Yeah. Anyway, so my question is, when Booney calls, do you have his number locked?
Yeah.
In?
Oh, dude. Booney's a great friend. I played 6 years with him in Cincy.
That's right. Okay. I just want to make sure because it wasn't like.
One of my best friends in the game. That was a big part of it, too. I mean, you know, just being able to be next to him, you'd be with the Yankees. I mean, the bottom line is any person that's ever played Major League Baseball or been a part of this game wants to wear the pinstripes at some point. I mean, there's just. That's the truth, and you know, for me, having an opportunity to do that was a big part of this, too.
How long did it take you? So you're driving.
Yeah, I was at the airport coming back.
Man, what a flight that must have been. Were you your head spinning a little bit?
Oh, yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah. It was out of the blue.
Yeah, it was totally out of the blue. I was just, you know, ordering some food. I think it was at Starbucks. I was like, hey, give me the mocha tonic, or give me a mocha, whatever that is, cappuccino. You know, it's extra salad. By the way, almond milk.
By the way, barista, do you think I should become hitting coach for the
year? Yeah, I was like, wow. I had to obviously talk to a few people, but what an opportunity, you know, especially if this was, you know, very unique. It was, you know, for the second half, you know, run and I'm very grateful to be here, really.
What is the thing that you did not, like, you think you know what a hitting coach does?
Yeah.
But listen, I mean, like, also, all this information is dead. So what are some of the things that you were not expecting when you got dropped in the seat?
Well, I mean, I think there's, I think, you know, a lot of times I'm here, you're here a lot earlier than the players.
Yeah.
I'm like, as a coach, you know.
You don't get paid
as
much.
The bus is at noon. Yeah. I remember making millions thinking, man, this is a grind. You get here as a coach, you're like, wow. You know, I mean, it's like, it's different that way because your prep work is more before the game. Mm-hmm. You know, as a hitter, you get here, your prep work is 4 o'clock, BP, getting your cage work in, getting in early. You know, these guys are here a lot earlier than we were too, Rob. You know what I mean? Like, they're here at 1.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're getting early cage work in and stuff. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, there's a lot of different information now. There's a lot of, you know, I have, you know, two assistants, Brad Wilkerson, Casey Dykes, mm-hmm. and some other people too. So there's a lot more resources now mm-hmm. than there was when I played. So I think it's just kind of getting used to that and you know, kind of leaning in to delegate.
I would almost imagine also that, you know, like you said, I mean, you got a great personality. You like, you just like, right. you talk to people, right? But, you know, was there any, like, do I have to act this way? Do I have to act that way?
Yeah, I think so. Initially, yeah. You know, listen, at the end of the day, this is, in Major League Baseball, understanding how long of a season it is, you got to have relationships with guys, especially hitters. You know, these guys have to know that you know what you're talking about, that know that you have their back, know that, and get to know these guys, get to know what makes them good. What are they doing when they're doing well? What are they doing when they're struggling? And, you know, just have the confidence to be able to develop.
When did you feel comfortable?
It was, you know what? I think initially I felt like I was comfortable right away just because, you know me, Rob. I feel like I could talk to anybody and have a good relationship with people. But I think it took me a couple weeks to kind of, like, settle in, really, you know, feel comfortable with all the guys, feel comfortable in what my routine was. I didn't know what my routine would be as far as watching film, going over some film with, Brett Wemper and a couple other different guys and to try to figure out, you know, what my routine was coming in. So it did take me a couple weeks. You know, I thought initially, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just got right into this, but now that I've been in for a couple months, like, man, those first 2 weeks, I think my head was like, exorcist.
When I this is a great correlation, but or analogy. When I was coaching high school basketball, the first thing that struck, like, holy crap, I got to worry about 5 guys instead of 1, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, and so this, I would imagine, is the same sort of thing. If a guy goes 0-for-4, yeah. Like, you have to wear that, just like the guy who went 4-for-4.
I think what's incredible is when you're by yourself, you know, when you're a player, you know, you're obviously you're with the team, but you stand alone in the box. I mean, you have to be able to have your process right. You have to be able to hunt the fastball and look for off-speed stuff up and do it day in and day out, pitch after pitch after pitch. And you wear the 0-for-4, the 0-for-8, 0-for-the-series or whatever, and you also feel good when you're 3-for-4. I think with these guys, you feel it all because you know how hard they work. You know the time they put in. You know how good of a guys they are. And when they don't do well, you feel it from 13, 14 guys as opposed to just yourself.
That must have been tough to adjust.
Yeah.
Man.
No, it does. Because
you're a caring guy.
And the emotions, you know, your emotions, you're thinking about things all the time. What could you do to help them out? All that stuff. And so you know, it's definitely, it's different as a coach because you do care and you want these guys to do well every night.
What are some of you've obviously have some really good hitters. Congratulations.
Yeah, really good hitters. Yeah, some of the best hitters in the world.
Right. All right, so, like, let's take Aaron Judge. Okay, yeah. Aaron Judge. You know, you and I are sitting in the hotel lobby at 6 a.m. at the winter meetings. We're talking about Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
You probably have a whole new perspective of Aaron Judge now. So what is different about your perspective of Aaron Judge?
You know what's incredible about Aaron Judge is how good of a person he is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when the greatest thing for the Yankees, you can understand why they gave this guy what he gave him. When your best player is also your best person.
Understand that even more.
Even more now. You know, I didn't know Judgey before I took the job. I just knew him as an analyst, you know, as a player, one of the best players in the game. But when you're with the guy every day and you get to spend time with him, you realize the best player in that club, the best person in the clubhouse is a real leader and a really good guy, is also your best player, one of the best players in the world. Mm-hmm. That's really good news for the Yankees and the whole lineup.
And so when you're going through it, the other part about it is wins and losses.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Sure. I mean, you've been around teams that won and lost, and also, but it goes back to, like, the responsibility that you have.
Yeah.
You were dropped in and, like, hey, you know what, let's win. And then, you know, it goes the other way.
Sure.
I mean, I guess the question is, do you sleep? Was it harder to sleep in the last month than it was at any time in your career?
Yes. Yeah. You know what? No, I've had some times my career too.
I know one time when you took the flight to Tokyo.
Yes, that was not a good one. Yeah, but my neck was in spasm. Yeah. Yeah, I think I've definitely had some sleepless nights, but also, you know, like I said, just to be back in this environment, to be back in the arena.
You like it?
Yeah, to be back in the arena with the guys, to be in the fight. You know, there's nothing like it in the world. So, like, to be
you
in the dugout.
That.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you don't know if you miss it, but when you get back in, you're like, wow, man, there's nothing like being in the
fight. Did you ever think? I mean, you're talking like, and I remember, and like all the great podcasts, MLB Network, all of it. I mean, you're good at everything you do. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob.
You gave me a T-shirt once. You were excellent at that. But, like, did you think eventually you were going to get back into the dugout? Because a lot of times guys don't have that opportunity where they go to the majors, you know?
No. You know what? I have thought about getting back in the dugout, and I have talked to Booney before about it, you know, for years. Because, like I said, he's one of my best friends, and I'm always like, hey, one of these days came, you know what I mean? So I'm just grateful. Like I said, I'm grateful that it's New York Yankees. I'm grateful that I got an opportunity to do it with some of the best players in the world. It's just, it's been awesome.
What was the shaving?
I got down to the mustache, and after that, about, I went superstitious.
Were you going to go with mustache?
I did.
Oh, you
first
did?
First 6 days, mustache. And then I was like, I didn't feel too good about it. Then we went 1-5, so I was like, I'm going to shave it. So now I'm back to, like,
it feel good, man.
My mom's been asking me for 25 years to shave the goatee, and she's like, you look great.
Yeah.
You look great without the facial hair.
But here's the thing. You've kept in shape.
Yeah, right. If you don't have the facial hair, you know, if you don't stay in shape.
You're hiding a lot of stuff under there.
Yeah, right.
Last question is I've got a specific person, who Jason Dominguez, because a lot of people talk about him, and people are sort of fascinated with him. You know, it was sad that his season's over, but you had him for a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you have any familiarity with him before he got there?
No, I just heard, you know, obviously his nickname is the Martian. You know, he's out of this world. You know what I mean? Like, when he first came up in Houston, I was like, wow, this kid's going to be special. His bat speed, just the way he swung the bat. And I tell you what, the comp that I have with him is a young Manny Ramirez.
Really?
The same kind of, like, you know, sometimes you think Manny's like, hey, what's he thinking, you know? Jason Dominguez keeps it very simple. He does not fool a lot at the plate. He's up there hunting that fastball, but he can hit the breaking ball. He can hit the slider, and he's obviously a switch hitter too. But you know, I just felt like I knew Manny when he was young.
It felt the same way.
Yeah, that's right. When he was a young kid, and then I had him in Boston here too. But yeah, like, for one of the first things when I first met him, was a very soft-spoken kid. And I thought, wow, it reminds me of Manny Ramirez.
Is that so? As a hitting coach, when you look at him, where it's like, okay, you know, you're breaking down everything. And I don't know if you look at video of it.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, this is simple.
Let's not
jump in and say,
nah,
hey.
Just simple.
And he hits a home run.
Yeah.
That was all because of you.
Four of them. Yeah, right. Four homers in seven games. Yeah, the kid's just, it's going to be a special talent. Big-time power, can run a lot. He's going to be a great center fielder. You know, he'll be back. Well, the good thing about, you know, it's terrible that he had the UCL, but the good thing, he's 20 years old. He's going to bounce back from it. He's not a pitcher, and, you know, he should be back hopefully at the latest at the All-Star break next year.
I have to, just you doing comps, Anthony Volpe, I get a chance to talk to him in spring training.
Yeah.
Does he remind you of anything?
I mean, just a lot of great players that I played with. You know what I mean? A lot of guys.
The whole demeanor.
Just a professional, man.
Just
a professional. You know, like, you know, I think like a Barry Larkin, a guy that was just loved the game of baseball, showed up every day, played it hard. You know, when I look at Volpe, I'm like, man, this kid loves baseball, all he thinks about. And he's one of the best shortstops in the game right now, hands down, no doubt about it, watching him in every day. And just becoming going to be a great hitter, too. The guy's just learning the game. He's 22, wants to learn, and he's going to be a
leader.
Man,
you're so jacked up.
He's going to be a leader.
I can't tell when you're jacked. You're always jacked. But I have been asking this question. This is the last one.
Yeah.
I've been asking this question of a lot of players and people. What's the weirdest thing you ever signed?
The weirdest thing I ever signed?
Yeah, so we've had – so the reason I started asking this, Sean, And, like, I'm like, everybody, almost everybody has, like, some weird answer.
I know, it's funny.
Toasters, prosthetic limbs.
Oh,
I've gotten
God.
Two socks.
I think one of the coolest things I ever signed was my last year in Boston, we were coming into Baltimore, and a guy had, I'm sure it's somewhere, he had this big thing that he created. Only people with nicknames on it.
Really?
Baseball nicknames.
Really?
So like Hammer and Hank Aaron, you know, like, you know, Mr. Cub, you know, and the Buke, the God of Walks, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it was one of the coolest things I saw was this guy. It was just people that had nicknames.
Yeah,
in
the thank God you had a nickname.
Yeah, yeah. I thought another one, Johnny Lester. I think back to when he signed the golf when he had the no hitter over here in 08. He signed a golf ball for everybody.
He did?
I thought that was cool, yeah.
Wait,
so I have a John Lester golf ball.
Oh, so he
from
signed 25 golf balls?
Yeah, yeah.
He did? Like, that's bizarre.
This is so weird, John, but I'll take it.
All right, man.
All right, thanks, Rob.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect forever.